Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. I wonder what the most surprising, shocking, wonderful thing is that has ever happened in your life. We've been following the remarkable account of Joseph in Genesis, seeking to learn important life lessons that will help us live life well. Yesterday, I left you in the throne room of the most powerful man in the world, the Pharaoh of Egypt. He'd had two dreams, which had deeply troubled him, and he sought their interpretation from his wise counselors and even magicians, but no one could explain the dreams. But then Joseph was brought up out of prison, cleaned up, and brought to the Pharaoh for the purpose of explaining his dreams. He told the Pharaoh, "I cannot do it, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." I notice the record gives us no indication that Pharaoh had any interest in knowing anything about this God of whom Joseph spoke. He wanted his dreams interpreted immediately, and so he explained the dreams to Joseph and waited for his answer. Now think about that a moment. The most powerful man in the world is telling his dreams to a prisoner he'd never met and expecting to get an answer that will help him. Really? We do desperate things when we are desperate, don't we, my friends? Joseph did give the Pharaoh an interpretation for the dreams, but he also made it clear God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. Genesis 41:28-32. Pharaoh was stunned. He now faced two important decisions. What to do about the warnings of seven bountiful harvest years to be followed by seven dreadful famine years, and what to do about the news that this prisoner, Joseph, has a relationship with Almighty God, who can both produce great bountiful harvests in Egypt, but can also smite the land with a devastating drought that could starve to death every animal and person. Pharaoh's wise response shows me he tried to walk down both paths at the same time, dealing with the dream news and dealing with Joseph and his God. Look at Genesis 41:38. So Pharaoh asked his officials, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" The Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning as you. You shall therefore be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." No one in the world would believe what had just happened in this Egyptian throne room if they were told. It is beyond imagination, it's beyond ridiculous, but it did happen, just as the record says. The world changed in that moment, because Pharaoh next said, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his royal finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed Joseph in royal robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He made Joseph ride in a chariot as his second in command. Genesis 41:41-44. In our lifetime, there is perhaps one other modern-day story which is similar, and that is Mr. Nelson Mandela's rise from prison to the presidency. Mr. Mandela served 27 years in prison amid growing domestic and international pressure and fears of racial civil war. South Africa President F.W. de Klerk released Mr. Mandela from prison in 1990. Mandela and de Klerk led efforts to negotiate an end to apartheid, which resulted in the 1994 multiracial general election, in which Mr. Mandela led the ANC to victory, and he became president of South Africa, serving as president until 1999. Mr. Mandela's dramatic change from prisoner to president was, however, a political process over several years. Joseph's dramatic change happened in a few hours and was God-led. The Pharaoh had no other explanation for Joseph's wisdom other than he was one in whom is the Spirit of God. God has made all this known to you. Now, my friends, this is remarkable, and it's a picture of what it should be like in every modern-day follower of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it was the Holy Spirit of God who was giving Joseph the dream interpretations and the wisdom to give the Pharaoh a strategic plan for both abundance and famine management all across Egypt. Yes, the very same Holy Spirit of God who works in the salvation of a person as they trust in Jesus Christ to be their Savior, according to John chapter 3, verse 3 to 7. The very same Holy Spirit who Jesus said resides inside those born again by the Holy Spirit, according to John 14. The very same Holy Spirit who guides Christ followers every day in their attitudes, words, choices, and behaviors, according to Romans chapter 8. That means if you are someone who has trusted Jesus Christ to save you from your sin condemnation and God has placed His Holy Spirit within you, then you should anticipate that this same Holy Spirit will give you wisdom and discernment to know what is best in the everyday decisions of your life, no matter where you live in the world. Philippians 1:10. Now let's ponder that a moment. The Genesis record tells us, after the Pharaoh commissioned Joseph to this remarkable responsibility and gave him ultimate royal authority, even though Joseph had never done anything like this in his life and was totally unfamiliar with the political hierarchy of Egypt, Joseph went to work immediately. As led by the Holy Spirit of God, there was no time to waste. An entire nation's survival now depended on Joseph very quickly assembling a leadership team, developing a nationwide strategic plan, and putting in place key leaders to accomplish the strategic plan very carefully. Lives depended on the success of Joseph's strategy. Many lives, perhaps the ultimate survival of the entire nation of Egypt, now lay in the hands of one man. A man who only hours before had been a Hebrew prisoner in an Egyptian dungeon. The record says Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. Did you notice Joseph's age, my friends? And do you remember how old he was when his brothers grabbed him out in the fields one day and sold him to a traveling caravan? He was then 17. And now he's 30, as Pharaoh elevates him to be prime minister of all of Egypt. 13 years had passed, 10 of which was spent as a slave being dragged to Egypt, sold in Egypt to Potiphar, and then working for Potiphar, and about 3 years in prison before suddenly being brought to stand before the Pharaoh. Now think about that, my friends. How many times in those 13 years did Joseph have every reason to assume his life had no purpose, no value, except being a slave to an Egyptian official? How often did Joseph have every reason to assume God had forgotten him when sold by his brothers, when wrongly accused by his boss's wife, when forgotten in prison by the chief cupbearer whom he had helped? Have you ever experienced this great biblical truth found in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5? We rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given to us. That was written by the Apostle Paul, who spent so much time in various prisons for speaking God's truth. Sometimes he was healing from severe beatings in those prisons. Yet Paul found those times of great suffering produced a remarkable God-honoring result in his life. The Apostle Peter also suffered great persecution, and he wrote, "For a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." 1 Peter 1:6 and 7. My Walking with Jesus friends around the world, do you see all three great men of history call us to recognize that God can accomplish great things in us in our times of suffering, especially when we're suffering injustice. But we must realize those times can also awaken bitterness, resentment, anger, hatred in us, and those emotions will squelch the great character work God is trying to accomplish in us. For 13 years, Joseph pondered his childhood dreams as he suffered slavery and imprisonment. But it seems clear he, like Daniel many years later, resolved not to defile himself. Daniel 1:8, and Joseph worked hard to protect his integrity and develop God-honoring character. He had no idea what the result might someday be, but when the moment of crisis came, the most powerful man in the world selected Joseph because there is no one like this man in whom is the Spirit of God. Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. I'm deeply challenged, my friends, about you? I'm challenged to consider how I have used or wasted times in my life when I felt I was suffering an injustice, or times I felt God had abandoned me out in the wilderness, or times I saw no positive future. Did I use those times to work on refining and growing my God-honoring character, or allowing my heart to turn hard, sour, even angry? These times of suffering will come into all our lives, my friends, so let's use Joseph, Paul, and Peter's examples and words to call us to make good use of our suffering, never wasting it. Let's stop right here and ponder this deeply today with this song of worship.